Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into another episode of Two Peas. I'm very excited about this one. We're kicking off February right. It's the month of love, right? That's what they say. So we've got a few topics that are love-related, and this is the first of those. I'm also very excited because I'm welcoming a good friend of mine, kind of a mentor of mine, to be honest. She runs the network that I'm in. We've had a really tight friendship for about a year now, but I love her. Carrie is here from Blazing Caribou. Carrie, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm so happy to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
This your second time or third time?
Second time. It's my second time.
Second time. You were on, well, we talk all the time, so I feel like you've been on 100 times.
Right.
but this is officially the second time on an episode, but you were on with us and we did 90s grunge songs.
Oh, that was awesome. Yes.
You,
I love that one.
Remember you brought the all-female
I did.
Playlist.
I did. Yeah. I brought it. I represented.
Yeah. That was awesome. We're doing something really different today, though. This is kind of a 180, but we're going to be counting down the top five TV married couples.
Perfect.
So married couples from television programs, really no parameters in terms of years. What do you think, Carrie? I mean, when you were doing your research, was this an easy one for you to come up with five? You told me when I invited you that you kind of had three or four off the top of your head, right?
I had five off the top of my head. It actually went almost to eight, like right off the top of my head. So I was like, boom, 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 boom. These were my influences growing up. And it came right off the top of my head. So yeah, this was almost a no-brainer. Like when you asked me like, oh, can you be on the show? I'm like, sure. And you gave me like one topic and then you're like married couples. I'm like, bam, I'm taking married couples. That's easy. I know exactly where I'm going with it. So
that's it. That's awesome. Are you more of a, I feel like I know the answer to this, but just to let all the listeners know, are you more of a TV person or a movie person?
Well, it depends. I think more of a TV person. That's just kind of how I grew up. I love movies. I got more into movies as I got older, probably more in my early 20s. I saw some movies, and see, I have an older brother who's like 5 years older than me. Uh-huh. So I always had to go to his movies. So I didn't really get to see a lot of like some of the movies that I probably would have seen at my age, in my age group. So I just didn't go.
Right.
So, you know, but don't get me wrong. I saw the Star Warses and the Die Hards and all those types of things. But at the same time, it was like, well, you know, probably would have liked to see like Bedknobs and Broomsticks and things like that growing up, you know, but I didn't until later in my 20s and stuff. When I had my daughter, I started kind of redoing a lot of those things. But don't get me wrong, favorite movie of all time, you know, is Mary Poppins, and I'm so glad that it came back. So I did get to see that when I was a kid.
That's one of the very few that I have not seen yet from 2018, Mary Poppins Returns.
Oh, my God.
I love Emily Blunt, though, so I'm going to see it. I'm going to probably take my son and check it out.
Definitely do it. It's one for the ages, and definitely if you've seen it when you're younger and you see it now, I don't know, it kind of brings a little tear to your eye. It's kind of nice to have that feeling.
Well, we're going to do our top five TV married couples. I'm excited, you know, to kind of piggyback on what you said. I mean, it was pretty easy for me too. I'm doing this new thing, Carrie. I don't know if you've listened in the last few weeks, but I just started doing like for my honorable mentions, I basically round out my top 10. So I'll do five honorable mentions, which would have made up a full countdown top 10.
Okay. And
that was a little harder. I got to about seven or eight pretty easily, but the last two or three, I was kind of having to Google and fish around a little bit and kind of jar my memory a little bit.
Sure.
But I would say my top five is pretty locked in, and there was really no question. The order I struggled with a little bit, you know, I always kind of struggle with where to put them on the list, but my number one was no question. And then after that, it was kind of just like a flip a coin type deal with the other four. they're kind of all interchangeable. But I had a lot of fun coming up with it. You know, I've kind of in my older age kind of gradually turned to more of a, being a movie guy, because I only have to devote 2 hours as opposed to, you know, multiple seasons. So I've kind of gotten to where I'll just check out a movie that I want to see once or twice a week, as opposed to investing in a new show. You know, if it's a show that I'm already on, I stick with it, you know, like Game of Thrones or The Handmaid's Tale or, you know, whatever I'm already invested, I'll stick with it. But, you know, kind of the same question I asked you, I would say if you're asking me right this second, I'm more of a movie guy, but the couples that are on this list were in the prime of my TV viewing. So I'm very excited to talk about some of these with you. So
yeah, I'm curious if we cross over at all, because we are the same age. We are the very same age. We might cross over. And if that happens, that's okay.
I think we might. It's ironic, though, because I'm such an 80s junkie that I don't have a lot of 80s on here. I have a lot of modern couples, I would say, which I found strange when I was making my list, because I don't know, it's just weird. I guess these couples just spoke to me when I was kind of in love and married, you know, so
perfect. Yeah. That's good. We're totally on different pages then. So that's really good. Yeah. I was going to say
it might be a short episode, because you and me do have a lot of similar sensibilities, but
yeah, but I try to always kind of go for something a little bit different.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. Also, keep it fresh.
Yeah. Except the first one. I can't.
Well, if you're ready.
I am ready.
You got your list there. I'm gonna let you go first. So what's your number five TV married couple, Carrie?
Okay. My number five does not match any of the rest of the list, because I had to. It is, to date, my favorite show happening right now. I watch it every night. And that's kind of how I go to sleep every night. But it makes me laugh, and I think it's brilliant. And it's Bob's Burgers. And it's Bob and Linda Belcher. Has nothing to do with the rest of my list, but I think that this is the perfect married couple, because every night that we watch it, my husband and I both laugh, because I am definitely Linda, 1,000%. Like, I am the one that comes into the room and I'm like, let's start singing. And he's just like looking at me like, oh, we're going to get a song right now. And I totally do. I'll come in here, I'm like, why is everybody so cranky? And I've always been that one.
Well, you're going to be mad at me. You mentioned this one on Twitter when we did, I'm trying to remember what the topic was.
I did.
Oh, it was for animated TV series.
And
suggested this one with a funny gif. And I've never seen this. Are you upset with me?
No, I'm not. But you know what? You're my age. Let me tell you why this works so well. So they've got these three kids, right? And you've got the nerdy older one who's just like, you know, I don't know what's happening. Very anxious, you know, type of a thing. Then you've got the kid who's in the middle, who's like, look at me, please look at me. And then you've got the little kid who is, you know, kind of the devil of the family, like always, you know, she's really crafty and everything like that. And if you can relate to any of those as a child growing up, the kids work for you. Mm-hmm. But as the adult now, it kind of flips, because this is a perfect time for us, for our age group, because we're kind of looking at these kids and we're trying to raise these kids, right?
Right, right.
And so you've got the husband who is, you know, you can't shy away from the fact that he's just, you know, trying to do the right thing. He's trying to have a family and just make a little dollar at this point. And, you know, he goes through all these shenanigans. So I think it's really real. It's very brilliantly written.
Well, I want to check it out.
The songs, I actually bought my husband for Christmas. I bought him the songs because the songs are actually really well done. And you can't go wrong with a song called Bourbon by Kevin Kline. And it's so great. The whole song is about bourbon. It's our new favorite Christmas song. And if you know what I'm talking about, just Google it right now, guys. It's hilarious. We just laugh about it all the time. So like when we're feeling a little, you know, blue or whatever, I'm like, I look at my husband, I go, bourbon? And he goes, oh, bourbon. And he'll he'll go in and grab some whiskey or bourbon and just chill out. So it's a great show. Definitely.
That's awesome. That's one. That's right up there with Rick and Morty with animated series that I really need to check out. I'm so behind on checking those out, but I've heard great things about it. I've heard you mention it quite a few times, and I think I'm gonna have to take a look at Bob's Burgers.
I'm a big cartoon geek. That's the whole thing. thing. And it's really funny for the rest of these. There are no more cartoons for me, but I had to throw that in there because that is my personality. And I've grew up with cartoons and love them. So definitely have to check it out.
That's all right, awesome. All right, so Bob and Linda, number five for you. All right, Bob, so my number five is not even close to an animated couple. It is, well, it's going to be the only drama, TV drama on my list. All the other ones that you're going to hear after this are from sitcoms, but this was my favorite television program of all time. It still is. It ran for, I want to say, 8 seasons and on the HBO network in the 90s and into the early 2000s, and it's remained my favorite TV drama of all time. But from The Sopranos, I'm going to name Tony and Carmela Soprano.
Oh, that's a great one. That's
my
great.
Number five.
So the other day what you said, I processed it. Mm-hmm. You know, your feelings. It really hit home with me, finally.
You know, with you out of the house, I've had a chance to do a lot of thinking. I mean, it's partly my fault, but I need something else in my life. You know, with Meadow getting engaged, AJ almost...
You want another kid?
No. It turns out there is a lot for sale over on Crestview. A little over an acre. I was thinking I could build a spec house and take my dad in as a partner. I mean, my allowance is what it is, but...
How much is the lot?
$600,000. Anyway, he would oversee the construction.
Well, I'll call Ginsburg and have him free up a down payment.
And then?
I'll move back in.
Supposing that happened. What about the other issues that were on the table?
I swear to you, on our children, that my midlife crisis problems will no longer intrude on you anymore.
You watched The Sopranos back in the day?
Yes, I did. Not back in the day, this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
You get through the whole series?
I did get through the whole series.
Nice.
I hear they're coming back with everything. They're coming back with, like, I don't know, was it
like season? A movie?
Yeah, like a movie or something like that. It's pretty interesting to kind of explain really what happened to Tony and stuff like that.
And then they're also going to do a prequel, I read, which
it's really
young
interesting.
Tony.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. I totally dug this. I loved their dynamic between the two of them. I think it was really great that she was all in, and they paid no problem with that. They were just like, nope, she's all in. She this is the kind of wife that she is. She knows what happens. This is how it kind of, it's funny because I think The Sopranos came out after Goodfellas, which is my one of my all time favorite movies. And
same
I think
here.
There's even people in there in The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah. No
like
doubt.
Paulie, I think, is in there and stuff like that. So
Christopher.
There's a couple of people that, you know, have like reoccurring roles that you just kind of go, ah, yeah.
I grew up around an Italian family. My grandmother's full blooded Italian. And
so
I got to see a lot of this kind of dynamic growing up. And it was a lot like this where, you know, the Catholic and the Italian heritages and the traditions are very, very important. And you don't get divorced. You don't, quote, disobey your husband. You know, I know that sounds bad in 2019, but it was just the traditions of those types of families that they were very, it was a very strong family bond, regardless of what may be going on. And I mean, come on. I mean, this is the most stressful situation that Carmela as a mother could be in for her husband that she loves to be basically the head of the mafia.
Right.
Obviously just, you know, hits on him every day and dangerous situations that he is thrust into every day. And it's her kids are part of that danger. You know, they're growing up and they're teenagers on the show. And Meadow is going to college. Young Anthony's a little bit younger. I think they're maybe 5 years apart on the show. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I don't know. It's hard to explain because it's almost like you're watching it going, why is Carmela with him? But at the same time, you're like, man, if she left him, I would be devastated. Do you know what I mean?
So yeah, it would have ended the series right there, you know. So I like even how they held on to each other even after, you know, separation and stuff like that. It's like, oh, can't get rid of Tony, you know, and I can't get rid of Carmela. So yeah, it's a great show.
And rest in peace, James Gandolfini, who played Tony Soprano, one of the best, one of the best television characters ever, in my opinion. If we ever do that top five, he would probably be on there. Just his portrayal of that character was amazing. Edie Falco won several Emmy Awards and Golden Globes for her portrayal of Carmela. And she's still doing great work on Nurse Jackie and some other things. Mm-hmm. She's a great actress. But yeah, Tony and Carmela from The Sopranos is my number five, which swings us over to your number four. What do you got, Carrie?
Okay, this is getting a little bit more into what I'm talking about. So number four is a show that I grew up with that, and when I say I grew up with, probably more reruns like at this point. But this show was groundbreaking at the time that it came out. And what I liked about this show was how much the wife had influence over the husband. And this was the first time, and you understand, like, I was born in 1975. So, you know, the women's movement had already kind of bypassed, and, you know, it's there, but it's still really fresh, you know? So when I'm seeing this stuff, this is big for me to see women taking like a major role. So my next thing is the Dick Van Dyke Show, and it's Rob and Laura Petrie. So Dick Van Dyke and exactly. So what was so big about this show is originally when they had come up with this series, Laura Petrie was supposed to kind of take a back seat a little bit. This was more about the advertising agency as opposed to Rob's life. And what happened was a couple of episodes in, you know, she just completely, Mary Tyler Moore just completely overtook the show on accident. And, you know, at first there was a lot of, you know, back and forth, like, should we let her do this and stuff? But I mean, it worked for television. Well, she wore pants, which was absurd. She had, you know, the lead dance numbers, which was absurd at the time. Like, you know, you just don't give that to a woman. And what was so great about that for me was, like, I'm watching this woman kind of take over television. She was funny and it was great, but he was funnier. I did notice that. Like, he was funnier. She was a really good, like, straight man, and they worked together between their chit chat and everything like that. So,
right. I watched a lot of reruns of that one too. And I mean, he's a treasure, Dick Van Dyke. I said Carol Burnett, it was going through my mind, but it was Mary Tyler Moore. Right?
Mary Tyler Moore,
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've watched a lot of reruns of that too on TV Land. But that was a kind of a groundbreaking show, like you said, because now, I mean, nowadays there's all kinds of shows within the show, you know, so it's like the writer of a TV show or the director of a movie, and it's a show about their adventures. And this was kind of the first thing to do that, because Dick Van Dyke, if I remember, was like a TV writer or like a...
He wrote... He was a writer. That's right. Exactly. Yeah, they were writers on the show. And you had,
which was... Nothing Rosemary, was like that at the time. Yeah.
No, you had Rosemary, who was actually... She was a star since she was a baby. And I'll tell you this, Rosemary was one of the hardest working actresses like out there. And she lived until like she was 90 or something years old. I don't know if you remember, but she had this little black bow in her hair all the time.
Yeah, vaguely.
That was because like she was married and her husband died really, really young. And that was to signify him for the rest of her life. She never remarried or anything like that. And what was really interesting is the focus was really supposed to be on Rosemary. She was funny. She was outgoing. She kind of had that je ne sais quoi kind of about her that they really thought that it would take off in that direction.
Right.
But of course, Mary Tyler Moore comes on and she's like this sweet, kind of an innocent, like, I can't help it type of a character.
Right.
And the two of them fought for the rest of their lives about this. And they just never really...
Wow.
Liked each other over all of this. So
did you get to see this is not related to your pick, but did you get to see Dick Van Dyke at the Golden Globes?
No, I didn't.
It's so cute, man.
Is it adorable?
Because you know he's tight with Carol Burnett, which is what made me think of her a minute ago, and she had like a special like Lifetime Achievement Award, and they showed him kind of like getting teary eyed over it and stuff.
I saw him. I'm just telling you, like, we just went and saw Mary Poppins and I about lost it, you know, when I saw it. And what's funny about that, my husband kept saying, I bet this is the scene he's in. I bet this is the scene he's in. And I'm like, you just need to shut up and watch the movie and stop waiting for Dick Van Dyke.
Right.
And it was, what was really cool is like how they portrayed him. And as soon as I saw him, boom, outshot the waterworks. I'm like, my mom would love seeing this movie.
I know. Yeah. No, that's a great pick, you know, and that's another one that I like to revisit. If it's on, I'll definitely stop and check it out. And just, it's a different time in TV, man. You know, And, you know, with that being said, all the rest of mine are like in the last 10 or 15 years. But
perfect.
You know what I mean? Yep. It's just a more simpler, kind of innocent and wholesomer time. And that's a great show. So good pick there for you, Rob and Laura from Dick Van Dyke. My number four is from the television. There's actually I got to be honest, there's like three different married couples on this same program that could easily, like if I heard that on someone's list, I would not be surprised. Mm-hmm. But the couple I'm choosing from Modern Family is Mitchell and Cameron from Modern Family. You watch Modern Family?
I have. Yeah. I haven't watched it recently, but yeah, I watched it like in its prime, definitely.
Yeah, I love Modern Family. It's one of my favorite shows that's running. And I was talking earlier about how, you know, there's certain shows that I'll stick with because I started, you know, in the beginning with them. And Modern Family is one of those. And to be honest, I'm surprised it hasn't been canceled yet. Not because it's not any good, just because it's been running for so long. I want to say it's 11 or 12 years at this point.
Wow, yeah.
But yeah, this is obviously two males, a gay couple, Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Eric Stone Street. Jesse Tyler Ferguson, I want to say, is the one that's gay in real life, I think. The redheaded Mitch. Uh-huh. And then I think the heavier set guy is straight in real life. I think I could have that backwards. But one of them is gay and one of them is not in real life. But they portray a gay couple on the show, and their wedding was a beautiful thing because, and I'm not trying to get political today, but it was synchronized with what was going on in the country at the time when gay marriage was legalized. And they got married on the show, and it was televised, obviously, and they had a whole episode devoted to their wedding, which I thought was really beautiful and kind of spoke a lot. You know, I can remember when Will on Will and Grace had the first, quote, gay kiss on TV back in the early 2000s.
Yep.
That was a big thing, too. So this was a very progressive couple, obviously, but it also makes a statement in pop culture. And Mitch and Cam are hilarious.
Yeah, just funny.
Just two. It's like they have, it's like between the two of them, they have the whole like gay man kind of thing going, but it's like half and half. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because Cameron's like a high school sports coach and he loves sports and football and whatever. But he's also super flamboyant at the same time, like outside of that world. Mm-hmm. And then Mitchell is a lawyer who's very kind of like stern and organized, and they just bounce off each other really well. The greatest quips and one-liners usually come from these two guys on the show.
You let me think I burned down the kitchen when you did?
It was the only way for me to get a say in the remodel.
Oh, don't be so dramatic. I let you pick things.
Really? Name one thing in this room that was my idea.
Oh, just one thing? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, fine. Oh, how about the blanket? Yeah, because you said it reminded you of the blanket you used to lay on at your grandparents' house and eat your caramel corn when you watched Mary Lou Retton vault her way into America's heart.
What are you talking about? Are you seriously trying to incept a memory in my mind to make me believe that I chose that blanket?
Oh, kind of like you made me think I burned down our kitchen?
You have to. It's one of those things where you have to like rewind it or watch it on YouTube. Like, what was that? I know it was funny, but I can't remember it because it's so quick-witted, you know? Mm-hmm. But I love Mitch and Cam, and they're definitely my favorite couple on Modern Family. I was going to say you could also name Claire and Phil as well, which they're also a great married couple on that show. But Mitch and Cam is my number four from Modern Family.
That's perfect. Okay, so going back, you're going to see a reoccurring theme here at this point. I mean, because, you know, Bob's Burgers has everything to do with you know, Dick Van Dyke. But hey, that's kind of like my progression, though, and you'll kind of possibly see. My next one is about a couple that the man was, you know, kind of down on his luck, and he always kind of dreamed for a better life. And he was very eccentric with his friends. And it was nice because his wife was always so exasperated with him. She just always brought him back down from whatever high horse he thought he was on. So my next show is with Jackie Gleason and Audrey Meadows, The Honeymooners. So
classic.
Originated, back in 1955. And actually, one of my favorite episodes is The Mother-in-Law. I don't know if you know any of these episodes, but trust me, it's fantastic. It's basically, I think he kept calling her like a barracuda or something like that. And, you know, and he's just like, she's a barracuda. And it was, he tries to kick her out of the house. And, you know, what's so nice about this is really, that's in a really rough time in our lives or in our history where, you know, men are still, you know, king of the manor type of a thing. But what this actually showed that the woman was really kind of the queen of the manor. And you would see him put on all of this gruff and, you know, this hard exterior. But what was nice about Jackie Gleason, not only was he funny, but he also knew how to play the pussycat. And so in this episode, you really get to see that transformation where, you know, he's so angry at his mother-in-law and he's, you know, doing all these things, but he ends up writing Alice like this nice little poem. But at the end, you know, he's like, she's still a barracuda, you know, kind of a thing.
Right.
But she, and he always did the, you know, zip, bam, boom to the moon one of these days, Alice. It's but classic. He won't ever do that because he loves her. And I just felt that this chemistry of all of these people on this show was absolutely amazing. That, you know, you have Art Carney, you've got Joyce Randolph, you've got Jackie Gleason. I know these by heart. I'm not even looking this stuff up, guys. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, you know that I watch this stuff a lot. I don't know. This is kind of my sense of humor too. I think it's almost iconic that you can look back and you do see these guys that are kind of rough, but you know, it's the woman that kind of makes them soft and right. sweet and everything.
And you know,
like
you can't, it's a time capsule too, which is what's cool about this show. Yeah. And really the Dick Van Dyke Show too, is that you can't, I mean, you wouldn't be able to do those successfully in 2019, in my opinion.
No, you wouldn't.
It would
but
be a
you
very
know,
limited audience for it these days, where back then everybody kind of fit into the narrative that they were portraying, at least if you were, you know, a household family or whatever.
I think these are important, though. I think that shows like this are historically important to show where we've come as people. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, if there's some millennial out there watching this show and like, oh my God, it's blasphemy. Well, you know, right. This is the progression of our sense of humor as a nation and, you know, what is acceptable and what isn't. Why I like this show, the reason it's timeless is because she shows it isn't acceptable. His behavior was, you know, literally out there. And she comes back and says, reel it in, Ralph. And right. That's the best part about it. So really, this is a classic. This is timeless. And, you know, I would say watch it today. Yeah, there might be a little tough language, but, you know, I say that comedians have the right to use some tough language. And I think it's their job to kind of toe the line and, you know, kind of put some stuff out there and to make it a little controversial so we talk about it. And that's what this show does.
I suppose you didn't have time to sew these either, huh?
Your socks. I'm sorry, Ralph. No, I didn't.
No excuse or anything? Have you got any excuse why you didn't sew the socks? I know why you haven't got an excuse, Alice. You're afraid to give me an excuse. Because you know that I know that you know that I know what you've been doing around here all day. Sitting there fooling around.
You know something, right after you left the house this morning, I got in one of those silly moods of mine. You know how I get sometimes? So just while I was like, well, I'll do the breakfast dishes and make the beds and take the garbage down. Then when I came back up, I was still in such a funny mood. You know, I thought, why should I settle down to the drudgery of mending your socks? So I scrubbed the kitchen floor. Then, you know something? I was still so giddy and so gay over this whole thing that I thought I'd really enjoy myself, so I washed all the windows. Then, Ralph, I went out and I did the marketing, and I came back with a pot roast, and I put the pot roast on the stove, and while it was cooking, I went in and I cleaned out the bedroom closet. Now, I know that this may sound like work to you, Ralph, but it isn't. It's fun. It's such good sport. Do you know why it's such good sport, Ralph? Because I'm so loaded with modern conveniences. Just loaded steam irons and vacuum cleaners and dishwashers and washing machines. And say nothing of this lovely new modern refrigerator over here. Oh, that reminds me. It's time to defrost it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a tough time right now, especially for comedy, and I'm not trying to be, you know, weird about it, but I mean, it's real. I would imagine it's really tough to be a comedian in the public eye now, because it's almost like everything's off limits. It's like, okay, what can I joke about? You know what I mean? So,
oh my God, I can't even imagine. It's tough.
But, and you know, the easiest way to sum it up is just that our society is much more sensitive in 2019 than it was in the 50s, you know, and that's when the honeymooners really took off. And you know, if you get, like you said, if the listeners get a chance to kind of watch some of those clips, even, I mean, that's classic. I mean, that is foundation comedy, classic sitcom. That's one of the first sitcoms ever. I mean, was The Honeymooners.
Yep.
So,
yep, sure is.
Awesome pick. I see what you're doing.
Thank you.
I see
what
you're doing.
You see where I'm going with it.
I see what you're
doing.
You got a museum of married sitcoms here. I like it. So mine is the oldest television program on my list. It is from the 80s. It did roll over into the early 90s. I want to say it ran for 7 or 8 years. Mm. It was really the beginning of what we now have as the Fox Network. It was the first real successful program for them.
Oh, I know what it is.
The show is Married with Children.
Yeah.
And,
nice.
And the parents obviously are Al and Peggy Bundy.
That's great. Great pick. Great pick.
Ed O'Neill and Kathy Siegel. I mean, this was my parents. So yeah. Al was my dad and Peggy mm-hmm. was my mom. Mm-hmm. I mean, the relationship they had was one that was a love-hate relationship. And it was, you know, like they would literally cuss each other out. But when they went to bed at night, there was nobody they loved more.
Right.
You know, and it was, they couldn't live without the other person. You know, is that, what's that old saying? Women, you can't live with them. What is it? You can't kill them. You can't live without them or something like that.
Yeah, that was, something like that.
Something to that effect.
You can't live without them and you can't kill them. Something
to that effect. Yeah. And that was kind of Al's mentality and it, with his wife. But like mm-hmm. I said, I mean, he would protect her to the end of time. The love was kind of like, I don't know. It was like an underlying thing that nobody else could see but the two of them. And my parents were that way a lot. You know, there was a lot of comedy being thrown around in my household. It got serious at times, of course, but it was just kind of that kind of like sharp kind of mean streak banter that was funny, but you didn't worry about it because you knew that they loved each other as much as they could. And I don't know, the Al and Peggy just remind me of my mom and dad a lot growing up in the 80s. And this obviously aired at that time. I want to say I was about 12 years old when this first aired. So, you know, my parents let me watch it with them, which, I mean, this was a groundbreaking kind of revolutionary show that was a little out there for the time. Mm-hmm. And it was tackling a lot of things that people weren't tackling on TV. And a lot of, and I've actually talked to people on this show before, because mm-hmm. I want to say I had Peggy Bundy and my TV moms, too, I want to say.
I can see that, yeah.
But yeah, I've had people actually on this show, but I've seen stuff online, too, about how they weren't able to watch this show when they were young. Because it was so controversial and so kind of out of the box. And it didn't paint that picture of the wholesome married couple, like, I love you, mm-hmm. honey, have a great day at work. Like, you know, the Leave It to Beaver kind of thing.
And I want to say, like, when I first started watching this show, I felt the same way as I did when I saw the South Park episode where Kenny does abortion in a can. And you get what I'm saying? I was like,
right.
I was like, oh my God, this is a car wreck, but I can't look away. I'm kind of offended, but interested in what's going to happen. So it was definitely out of the box. You almost felt dirty a little shame a little bit watching it. But at the same time, you're like, well, this is where TV's going, so I better get on board.
Well, not only that, and you're right. Well, not only that, but it was where America was, and it was where America was going. It was blue collar, do you know what I mean? And I don't want to mm-hmm. give away any picks that might be on your list, but I mean, Roseanne came shortly after this. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people compare Married with Children with Roseanne, but those are both real shows. I mean, they are real depictions of the majority of families in America, especially at that time in the 80s and 90s. So, you know, people can put their nose up to it, which they did back in the 80s. But I mean, this was a honest depiction of what was going on in a lot of blue collar households. I mean, she was a stay at home mom that smoked all day. And he was a guy and bonbons. And he was a guy working at a shoe store, probably making $7 or $8 an hour, you know, and they had two kids. I mean, you know, it is what it is. And it was speaking to a lot of what was going on in the country at that time. It really still is from the blue collar working class people. So,
you see, Aaron, I've been married to Peg for over 20 years. I've seen her from the front. I've seen her from the back. I've seen her in a chair. I've seen her in a sack. I've seen her stand. I've seen her crouch. I've seen her on our stupid couch. I do not like her in the mall. I do not like her in the hall. I do not like her in my life. I do not like my big red wife.
And yeah, it was hilarious, too. I mean, I loved it. I laughed so much during that show. It was taboo. You know, Christina Applegate was showing her cleavage every week.
Right.
You know, and as a young boy, you can imagine, like, oh, when is Christina Applegate coming in? When's her scene, you know? So it was a very taboo show, but it was very funny. And Al and Peggy Bundy really remind me of my parents at the time. And I love that show. I watch reruns of that show frequently, and it's always remained one of my favorite shows.
And I think the controversy at the time was Peggy. And I remember things about this, like in the news and stuff like that, where, you know, oh, she's taking women's lib back, you know, 50 years. And, you know, we tried hard. And here she is, she's, you know, all dressed up, sitting at home, just collecting Al's paycheck. And I'm like, I want to venture to say there was more to her than that. There was a depth that, you know, was written into her character. And she played it so well. I mean, she's such a great actress. Like, and what's so great about that show She went on to play in Futurama, and I'm sorry, but I mean, how many times did she depict Peggy in that show, which was really great, you know? But, you know, there was a purpose there. I want to say that her character was a flip from the late 60s and early 70s into the 80s because we got that big hair and stuff like that. But she was still kind of stuck in that time where she needed to like get out and break out on her own. And that's what her daughter was doing.
Right.
So you kind of see the traveling through the ages of like how Christina became Christina, I guess you could say.
It was funny too, is I can kind of see myself slowly, don't get me wrong, slowly, we're talking 15, 20 years from now.
Sure.
But I could kind of see myself slowly turning into Al Bundy, you know? Like, I'll take my family on vacation and I'll just catch myself in the car stuck in traffic, like in that one episode, just
mumbling,
like literally hating my life, you know?
Right.
And just like,
how did I get here?
Can I get out and just get hit by a truck or something? This is, you know, and I didn't used to feel that way, but I could kind of slowly see myself getting to that cynical place
as
you get
so
older. But,
he was so self-deprecating. It was so great. I mean, just 5 seconds on the couch, he's just like, well, I want to die. I just want to kill myself. Just get a noose and just hang me. And
he'll come home. Honey, I'm home. And there's like nobody in the house. And he's like, damn, all right.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Nobody cares I'm here. Okay.
Yeah. Nobody cares. I guess I'll just die. You know, and and it's funny because like if you say that now, I mean, people are calling suicide watches on you. You don't even know what's happening. You're like, no. Like, I can just say some things sometimes because it's like maybe it's how you feel for a second, but it's not how you feel overall. Like, take a joke. It's funny. I try to do that in this household as well. And I'm like, go kill yourself. It's fine.
Right.
You know, you'll be fine, you know. But my social justice warrior daughter thinks otherwise, so I have to.
I know. Yeah, be careful. Yeah, be careful. All right, so that was my number three, Al and Peggy Bundy, which we're up to our runner-ups, and that you're going to go first, Carrie. What's your number two TV married couple?
Okay, well, this show, actually, Harrison Ford turned down the role of the son, which was very interesting, and it got a lot of controversy surrounding this, but it was the first time a show really tackled really hard issues, like really, really hard issues. And we're talking about communism, gays, black people, bigotry, all of those things. So my next married couple that is awesome is Archie and Edith Bunker from All in the Family. You can't have a top five list without talking about this show. It was these two together were the epitome of what the 60s and 70s were.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it was such a great show by Norman Lear. He always pushed the envelope, and I like that. But, you know, they talked about black people and racism for the first time. They had Sammy Davis Jr. on there as a neighbor, you know, coming, hey, baby, what's happening type of a thing. And, you know, you just saw Archie, who was just this bigot. And can you imagine having like a bigot on TV and that's somebody you want to watch every week? But no, nothing to say about our current president. But anyway,
right.
but you know, it's one of those things that I thought it was so important these two to come out, and there was a lot of strength in this show. So I mean, here we are. We kind of moved up from, you know, the 50s and the 60s, where I brought you up to the 70s here, and to show you that this is how far that we came, that we could definitely have a show like this, that the country was ready for it. And it was hard. This was a hard show. We were talking about Married with Children.
Right.
This was a hard show to watch and not watch. And between Gene Stapleton and Carol O'Connor, their admiration for each other was amazing. Their on-screen, off-screen type of a thing was great. And she, too, was one of those very kind of quiet characters. She developed her, I remember she did like a Hello Dolly or something on the stage, and she came up with this voice. No, this was not Gene Stapleton's real voice. Like, oh, Archie! That was not her real voice. But she came up with this voice, and it was something that was just so, you know, iconic.
Sure.
Enjoy the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made. Those were the days.
And you knew where you were then.
Girls were girls and men woman. Mr. We could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight.
G.R.O. LaSalle ran great. Those were the days.
But I will say, my biggest problem was when they brought back the show after Gene Stapleton died. I really had a problem with it, and I would still fight this to the death. They made it like there was nothing, like, it's not that they didn't talk about it, but it was almost like our pet had died.
Mm-hmm,
and I was so disappointed, because I was like, you know, she was 60% of that show. Like, she made that show what it was because she could say things almost kind of like Woody Harrelson from Cheers, where she's so smart that she could play this dumb woman. We're like, oh, do you think a black person should come over? Right, you know, right. And Archie would get all in a gruff, and she would kind of push, she would be that person to push the buttons and stuff like that and make it work. And when she came, when she actually died, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. She was gone, and they could not bring her back. I think that's why the second spinoff just kind of died, because they didn't do it right.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
Just a little.
Well, you know, this is one that I've seen throughout the years, like reruns, like bits and pieces, but mm-hmm. I was never like, quote, into the show, so I didn't mm-hmm. watch it from a perspective where I would have a great knowledge of all the characters. But I do know of its impact, especially in the time frame when it was airing, because I think it's cool when you can look at the lighter side of things, you know, and there was a lot of tough stuff going on in the country mm-hmm. at the time, and this was kind of a escape for a lot of people. You know, that's what yeah. I've read, and that's what I've heard, and that's kind of what it sounds like you're saying as well.
Yeah,
you can put this on for 30 minutes, and they might mention the things that are bothering you, but mm-hmm. they make you kind of laugh at it too, which is important. You know, you got to be able to look at the lighter side of life. You know, I know that sounds
absolutely.
Stupid, but that's what I feel like this show was able to
well,
do.
Well, how can you have a conversation if everything is fueled by hate and
right.
those types of things?
Right.
So, I mean, you do have to have a lighter side and kind of have a, you know, a serious bipartisan discussion, I guess you could say, on both sides of the fence. And you can then feel what both sides are feeling. And mm-hmm. and the thing is, I always tell my daughter about feelings, whatever you're feeling is legitimate, you know, and it's valid.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is it's what's important is for you to verbalize that and to be able to come across to a person what you're feeling. And if you don't, that's on you. Mm-hmm. You need to tell people so people can make it better or people can help you.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
This show helped people and it made it better, I do believe.
Absolutely. Good pick there. Archie and Edith Ooh. From All in the Family is your runner up.
Oh, Archie.
So my that's a good impression, by the way.
Thank you. That's all I got.
I meant to tell you. So my number two is the most recent, well, with the exception of Modern Family, which is still running. And mm-hmm. There's also a couple of couples from this show that could be on this list. And one of them is in my top 10, but this one breaks okay. into the top five at number two. I don't know. I was so drawn to this relationship from the very infancy stages. And this show did such a great job of like cultivating a relationship for these two characters. And they were themselves individually on the show, and you connected mm-hmm. with them individually, what they were going through and what they were there for, but you also kind of saw them, and I mean slowly, it took like 3 years for them to finally be together, but you could Ooh. See it, you could see it developing before your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But the show is Parks and Recreation, and the couple is April and Andy.
Okay.
April Ludgate and Andy Dwyer. Did you watch Parks and Rec?
I started that one last year, so okay. it's one of those that I know who you're talking about, which is yeah. good, so I'm interested to hear what you have to say, but yeah, I just started that one last year.
Yeah, one of my favorite shows, and I watched it in real time when it aired, but I just rewatched it on Netflix last year too. So, yeah, I blew through it, and it got to a point where my son, who's 5 years old, would be eating dinner, and he'd be like, "Can we watch Parks and Rec?" You know, and he's five, so I'm like, well, I must be doing something right. But, I mean, April and Andy, I mean, Chris Pratt, who obviously has gone on to superhero fame for Guardians mm-hmm. of the Galaxy,
right,
played Andy. And Aubrey Plaza, who's one of my favorite female comedians, plays April. And she's
love
just,
her.
Yeah, she's got such a dry wit and such a just a dry sense of humor. And she's always been one of just the funniest people. I just love her in interviews. I love her on other shows. When I see her go on like the late night talk shows, it's literally just hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not even saying anything funny. It's just like her personality is hilarious to me.
Yeah, she's great in Legion, by the way, too. If you haven't
seen
that.
I haven't seen that. Yeah, yeah.
She's so good in that. So
but, you know, April and Andy just... Andy was kind of the buffoon, and he was kind of like a little kid at heart, and was kind of living his life as a 12-year-old boy, you know, but he's grown up.
Yeah.
You know, he was homeless at one point. He was in a band throughout the duration of the show. He starts gaining these responsibilities, like getting a job at the Parks Department and eventually getting a job overseas in London. And, you know, April's kind of like, they both kind of, you know, Andy doesn't want to grow up because he's a kid at heart.
Sure.
April doesn't want to grow up just because she thinks it's lame. She thinks grown-ups are lame. She thinks parents are lame. You know, she doesn't want to do any of that stuff. She wants to be kind of an emo teenager the rest of her life.
Right.
So together, they have to kind of figure out how to move into the next chapter of life and how to be grown-ups and how to have responsibilities. And it is really cool. You know, there's one episode where they decide to get divorced and get remarried because they love each other so much and they want to do it all over again.
Sure.
But, you know, it was just a great kind of funny kind of, it's not your everyday romance, you know, it's almost like falling in love with your high school sweetheart and kind of seeing that happen at 17 or 18 years old, but they were much older, but they were kind of living in that capsule.
That's interesting.
But I love April and Andy. There's another couple I'll mention later that's on my honorable mentions from Parks and Rec too, but I like how the relationship with them really developed slowly over time. And you could kind of see, I remember back then, I could kind of see hints of it like, oh, I think he likes April, you know, and and then the next week you're like, oh, you know, he did that. Or did you see that look? And I mean, it was literally like every week there was like a 2 second like thing that would make you go, right. I think they like each other. And then over the course of a couple years, they eventually end up together. So
that's cool. I like it when shows do that as opposed to just like jumping you into a relationship, unless it's like written into the show, like, okay, these two are married, like, you know, flat out or whatever.
Right.
I do like seeing that development because it's like you kind of root for them type of a thing. Hopefully they don't ruin it with like a dumb wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that. Mm-hmm. I hate those dumb weddings, you know, where it's just like, oh, look, they're getting married now and the show's over. It's like sometimes they'll just do that.
Well, April and Andy had a real, did you see theirs? Do you remember theirs on the show?
Nope. I didn't get to it yet.
They had a really cool wedding because they invited everyone over for what I want to say was a Halloween party. And they were, April was like a gothic, like she was, Halloween was her Christmas, you know, so it made sense. And everybody gets dressed up in costume and comes over for a Halloween party. And then they just get married. And then
that's
perfect. They had everyone there at their house to witness their wedding, but nobody knew it. And it was really cool. So yeah, I love them. It's also one of my favorite shows that I just rewatched and finished up a couple months ago. So it's fresh in my mind, but
yeah,
that's my number two, April and Andy. And that, well, guess what? We're up to our number ones. Our number one married couple from television. I'm excited to see what you have here.
At this point,
I don't know. I kind of see your pattern a little bit, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. You could go a few different ones. So I'll see what you name. Go ahead. Okay, what's your number one?
Well, yeah, we could definitely go a few different ways. I think, to me, first of all, this half of this couple is my hero. And I wouldn't be the person that I am today without actually watching this show.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those shows that this just didn't happen back then. Things just didn't happen this way. Between this two couple, they're very funny. They're very engaging and sweet. But you can definitely tell, again, who wears the pants in the family. But I mean, I can't even get through a list like this. I have stuff all over my house. My wine glass is this. It's I Love Lucy. And it's Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. It was instantly my first one, basically because, you know, we're talking about a show that started back in 1951. And yeah, I kind of went backwards. I jumped forward and came back.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad I didn't guess, because I was going to pick one from the 80s, I think.
80s?
Late 70s, early 80s.
Some of those are my honorable mentions and you know, that type of thing. But this was definitely, I mean, boom, right when you said something, I'm like, I got to talk about these two. But first of all, can we just like break this show down a little bit? You know, we've got a man and a woman. He's an immigrant. He's from Cuba and he's married to a white woman on television. She had to fight so hard to have him as her husband on the I Love Lucy show.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want him. They said no. And she's like, well, I'm just not going to do the show. And, you know, at that point, she was making money for the studio. And they were like, all right, we'll try it. You know, they gave her a trial run. And what was so great about them is they had this on-screen chemistry that, I don't know, I think it's almost irreplaceable at this point. It, again, iconic and timeless and all
absolutely,
those types of things.
Yeah.
how funny she was. Like, for a man literally to take a back seat to his wife at that time to let her shine. Mm-hmm. The show is called I Love Lucy, which means he's paying homage to her.
Yeah.
It's just mind boggling to me. And like, I grew up, I've seen every episode a million times and a million times more. But one of my favorite episodes, and definitely look it up, maybe put it in the background. You can cut this part out, but put it in the background, is where he sings to her the actual lyrics to the I Love Lucy show.
I love Lucy and she loves me. We're as happy as two can be. Sometimes we quarrel, but then how we love making up again. Lucy kisses like no one can. She's my missus and I'm her man. And life is heaven, you see. 'Cause I love Lucy, yes, I love Lucy. And Lucy loves me.
And people don't know them, but it's pretty great. You know, I love Lucy and she loves me. You know, there's actual words to that show. And you see at that time she's pregnant, but they're not saying she's pregnant. And she's pregnant and you can just see the admiration in his eyes for her. Yeah, they get divorced later and there's all this other stuff that happens. But sure. Let's just talk about the show. The show was brilliant. And without I Love Lucy, I guarantee you that you would not have the Dick Van Dyke show that came right after that. You would not have Archie and Edith Bunker coming out. You would not have
the Mary Tyler Moore show.
You would not have that. You would not have any of these Rhoda, those types of things. You would not have Bob and Linda Belcher. You would not have You're Married with Children.
Yeah.
This started it all. This was the original behind, you know, all of the married couples on all the shows.
And, they're a foundation, block, no doubt. I mean,
yeah. So probably, I had to include it. I didn't know if you would, but I was like,
it's number seven on my list. Honorable mention for me, and it's definitely the oldest one on my list. You know, like I said, I went super modern, and that's the one. That's the one couple that I did watch a ton of reruns of, and you know, connected to them. And you know, there are other shows, especially ones that you've mentioned, that I'm very, very familiar with, but I never watched it and connected with it on a weekly basis.
Sure.
But Lucy and Ricky, I did. So
yeah, I think everybody that is our age kind of feels that way. I feel like I'm a good parent because I definitely made my daughter watch some of this growing up.
Absolutely.
Where she kind of gets why I kind of idolized this woman, because she was such a strong woman and she could do anything. Mm-hmm. And she did. And I loved it. I loved her sense of humor.
Just great.
It was just really great. And
it was slapstick, but also very, you know, smart. I mean, she had a great thing going on, and her aura was just magnetic. You know, you were just drawn to the screen. And I remember that too, both in the black and white days and the color days. Just she was awesome. All right. Yep. So Lucy and Ricky, your number one.
Lucy and Ricky.
I Love Lucy. All right. My number one is jump ahead 40 or 50 years, but my number one.
Hey, shut up.
My number one is not going to surprise anyone that knows me personally. It's probably my number two favorite sitcom of all time, next to Seinfeld, which doesn't really have a married couple on it, aside from the parents. But I didn't want to throw, I didn't want to get too like, you know, I didn't want to get too deep cut there. So it's Jim Halpert and Pam from The Office.
Almost put them on my from the U.S. Office. Mentions. Yes.
It's absolutely my, like I said, next to Seinfeld is my favorite show. I love so many things about it. This is another one similar to April and Andy that took several years to kind of cultivate, or seasons, I should say, to kind of cultivate. They had kind of a flirtatious working relationship for a couple years. Mm-hmm. And it was just so ingenious of Greg Daniels, the creator of this show, of the U.S. version at least, it was just so ingenious because it created a narrative that you had to watch if you started watching it. You couldn't stop watching it because you had to see if these two people get together.
4 years ago, I was just a guy who had a crush on a girl who had a boyfriend. And I had to do the hardest thing that I've ever had to do, which was just to wait. Don't get me wrong, I flirted with her. Pam, I can now admit in front of friends and family that I do know how to make a photocopy. Didn't need your help that many times. And do you remember how long it took you to teach me how to drive stick?
Like a year.
I've been driving stick since high school. So, yes. For a really long time, that's all I had. I just had little moments with a girl who saw me as a friend. And a lot of people told me I was crazy to wait this long for a date with a girl who I worked with. But I think even then I knew that I was waiting for my wife. So.
And there's so many other things going on, and obviously so many other characters that are funny and that you laugh at and that, you know, take up a lot of screen time. But in the back of your mind, where's Jim and Pam? Are they going to flirt with each other today? Is he going to pass her a note today? Are they going to go on a date? Fine. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're just always kind of thinking that. And I can remember in season 3 when Jim told her he loved her and it was the season finale. I can remember watching that back then going, oh my God, I have to wait 6 months to find out what she says. I mean, it was just like gut wrenching to get through the relationship.
Yeah. It was. Yeah.
But it was so pure and it was so believable. You know, I mean, I love John Krasinski. And he has gone on to fame this year to be a great horror director with one of my favorite movies, A Quiet Place.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
But I love him so much, and he's such a great actor, and he kind of plays that role of Jim so well. I mean, he embraces it, which is great, because he's going to always be Jim from The Office. I mean,
right. When you see him, you can't help it.
Yeah, I mean,
you kind of look at him a little bit. And I think it was a good route for him to take by going into directing a little bit, because he can portray a lot of that. And he's married to Mary Poppins.
Around.
You see how we brought that right back around, ladies and gentlemen?
Talk about that real quick. Yeah, I mean, I love her too. So he's winning on the home front too. But
absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, John Krasinski's awesome. Jenna Fischer, who plays Pam Beasley, it was awesome. She kind of looks like my wife a little bit, which I like. but also, I mean, it was really cool because she was like, not like a bombshell, you know what I mean? They didn't cast like, oh my God, this is...
No, she was the girl next door.
Exactly.
It was the office worker that you might not notice, you know, type of a thing. You just pass them by every single day and then, you know, you can't help it. You know, that's... A lot of work relationships happen because you end up spending more time awake with these people than you do with your spouses at some point.
Right.
So, I mean, those relationships happen and they bloom and, you know, that kind of a thing. But, yeah, she
I'll put it to you this way. There, at least in to my memory, for what I recollect, there's never been a TV wedding that I've cried in except for this one. When Jim and Pam finally got married, you know, when it aired in real time. I don't remember the year. I want to say it was like 05 or 06 or something like that.
Oh, you big softy.
But, you know, it was just like, it was like you knew these people, you know, and it was like, it was like you were at the wedding. And, you know, I've mentioned Greg Daniels, the creator already, and obviously several writers on this show were just so ingenious to get the audience to almost force them to buy into that relationship. And, you know, if you watch the first few episodes, which was really a ripoff of the British version, but when it gets past that first 6-episode season, they do their own thing. And if you watched into that second season, I mean, you had to watch it because you just had to know. And they created that relationship and over time, and it was really cool. And it to date has been my favorite TV married couple, Jim and Pam from The Office.
Well, I will tell you this for funsies listeners, and you too, if you haven't seen it yet, Google Bird Box in The Office.
Okay, I haven't.
There is a little video going around where it's perfect. They dubbed, I think it's the trailer for Bird Box with The Office people. It is so funny. And I was like, I had to watch it like 2 or 3 times. I'm like, I'm going to show people. And I like ran up to my husband yesterday and I'm like, you have to see this. And he's like, oh my God, this. Now I haven't seen Bird Box, but it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't matter. There's a ton of memes out there for it that, you know,
you
kind of get the blindfold just or whatever.
Yeah, it's perfect, but you have to watch it.
So
it's definitely a watcher.
So I tell you what, we're getting down to the end here, Carrie. It's been awesome having you. Do you have any honorable mentions that didn't crack your top 5 you want to shout out to real quick?
I do. I have, back in the day, I used to watch this a little bit growing up, Kevin and Winnie from The Wonder Years.
Did they get married on that show?
I don't remember, but I know what I always found very interesting that, you know, the show took place in like 1968, which would have made him like 12 years old. And then I can't remember how it works out, but you could tell that he was narrating his own life. And you use Daniel Stern as his voice later on. So he was always reflecting back. But that cute little relationship,
we all had
that little relationship growing up. And it doesn't actually have to be like this, you know, this big love affair type of a thing.
Right.
It's that innocence.
It's almost like a friendship almost.
It is. It's a friendship that grew into love. And it was just one of those that I was like, oh.
Yeah, cool. I agree. Yeah. What else? What else you got?
Well, I mean, honestly, can we not even talk about Sam and Diane from Cheers? I mean, that one's pretty obvious out there. It's why I put it on an honorable mention. I wasn't sure if you were going to grab that one or not.
Mm-hmm. I love Cheers. One of my favorite shows.
Me too. I've actually been to the bar.
Same here. Yeah.
It's pretty neat. It's not the same. It kind of throws you for a loop, but you're like, okay, where would Sam sit? I don't understand. But,
yeah, I know. Me too. My wife and I walked in. We were like, I think we're in the wrong place. but it looked like definitely. It on the outside, but on the inside is a completely different bar. Yeah, right? They totally obviously different. Used a set or something.
Yeah. And I thought that was a really interesting, volatile relationship. And we've all had those. We all knew that we probably shouldn't marry this person. And, you know, but everybody has had one of those relationships that has just been a little tumultuous, a little bit too much kind of a thing. So that's pretty great. And my last one that I have is, again, another tumultuous relationship back in the day. And if you'll remember it, I know you watched this show. I know you did. You had to, because I know I did. Moonlighting with David and Maddie. And I figured that one would be kind of forgotten, but I loved that relationship. But yeah, I think anybody who like grew up in the 80s would have watched this. And Bruce Willis has hair. It's really kind of neat. You know, this is right before Die Hard and all those. But Cybill Shepherd and him would fight it out each week. And it was kind of a drama series, but it was also, you know, like a mystery series and such. But God, love that show, too.
Yeah, me too. All right, I'll round out my top 10 real quick. And a couple of these you mentioned, but my number 6 would have been Murray and Beverly from the Goldbergs. Which is a a show that's currently running, but I love them on that show. You said Lucy and Ricky already. They would have been my number one. It would have been my number 7. My number 8 would have also been from Parks and Rec. Leslie Knope and Ben from Parks and Rec, played by Adam Scott. Just kind of a geeky couple that just went so well together. Mm-hmm. And then kind of a rare gem would have been my number 9. Would have been Brad and Jane from Happy Endings. Happy Endings was a show that only ran for one season about 7 or 8 years ago, but it was so good, man. It was like a coming of age sitcom with a bunch of, it was kind of like Friends. It was kind of like a modern twist on Friends, basically. But Brad was played by Damon Wayans Jr., who I just love him. He's hilarious. And him and his wife were just the best part of that show. They were so funny. They bounced off each other so well. Anybody that's seen Happy Endings will know what I'm talking about. And then my number 10 would have been Lily and Marshall from How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, yeah.
I love them on that show, too. And they were kind of relationship goals on that show. Yeah. So there you have it, guys. That was Carrie Helped Me, and that was our top 5 and then some for TV married couples. I had a lot of fun discussing this one with you, Carrie.
Thank you. It means
so much that you came on with me today, and I know you'll be back soon. Why don't you go ahead and tell the people where they can find you? I know you're in a little contest you might want to shout out. What do you want to tell the people about out there, Carrie?
Well, right now I'm in a contest called America's Next Top Podcaster. It's being put on by the Frog Pant Network. I can't really talk about like where I'm at in the contest, but I'm not gone yet. Let's just say that. So that should come out in a few weeks once they start releasing some of those episodes. But it's a lot of fun. We have to come up with a new podcast every single week from start to finish and have it recorded and have it edited and have logos and all the whole shebang. So it's been a lot of fun. Very exhausting, very tiring, but if you get a chance to listen to that on the Frog Pants Network, you can check me out there.
All right, cool. Well, you know, like I said, it means a lot to me that you were here. You're awesome. You know I love you. We talk pretty much.
I love you too.
We talk pretty much every day, but it's always great to have you on the show. So that's it, guys. That has been our top 5 TV married couples. Like I said, kicking off February right. Let's get a little romance out there, you know what I mean? Get a little love out there and help the people through the month of February, Carrie. That's it for this episode. For Carrie, this is Gerald signing off. We'll see you guys next time.
Later. Like a horse and carriage, Dad was told by Mother, you can't have one, you can't have none, you can't have one without the other.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.